It is less stressful if you are able to live what it is you believe. But in order to live what you believe, you need to know what it is that you believe. And so each time we get together, we have an affirmation of our faith, always from God's Word. Today is from Titus in the 3rd chapter. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. The reading from God's Word today is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 42. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Jesus mentions Jonah, the book of Jonah, a number of times. Jesus talks about the sign of Jonah and even gives some explanation for what He means by talking about the sign of Jonah. Jesus was answering a question or request put to Him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." This was not an unusual request. Other rabbis had been asked and would be asked the very same request. Since Jesus' teaching was astonishing and astounding, and the people had never heard anything like it, and there were plenty of claims of Jesus healing people, wouldn't you and I ask the same thing? And if someone thought that Jesus had come from God, or they thought they heard Jesus say that Jesus had come from God, could Jesus give a sign that Jesus' power and or Jesus' teaching comes from God, that Jesus' teaching comes from above and not from Satan? Jesus' response, saying that the leaders have demanded a sign, may mean that we often read the request from the Bible with the wrong tone. Rather than, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you," we should read it this way: "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." And in their insistence, prior to any belief or faith in what Jesus is saying, Jesus calls them evil and adulterous, meaning that they are running after other gods, if not literally, figuratively. The Jewish leadership run after status. They run after esteem from the people. They insist on their own righteousness, at least some of them do. And Jesus stated, "No sign will be given except the sign of Jonah." Now, what does everyone know about the book of Jonah? Miraculous deliverance, right? Whale, big fish, Jonah lived. Jesus even referred to the time in the darkness. So the sign of Jonah is God's own miraculous deliverance. That is the sign. And God will give that sign in Jesus just as God gave that sign through Jonah. Both men, Jonah, and as Jesus was, or Jesus would be given that moment, both men were imprisoned. Jonah in a fish, Jesus in the tomb. Neither of them, Jonah or Jesus, could expect to get out themselves or get themselves out. God would act to release them. And we can follow Jesus' reference out further. As God sent Jonah to the Ninevites, so Jesus is sent to his people of his day. So, sent from God, prophet Jonah, sent from God, prophet Jesus, and yet greater than a prophet. Nineveh repented. Now, it's the Jews' opportunity to repent. And if the people do not repent at the sign of Jonah, the Ninevites themselves, at the great white throne judgment, will testify against the people, and a greater judgment awaits those who do not repent. But there is more to the book of Jonah than what Jesus says about the book of Jonah. And just because Jesus tells us an important lesson from the book of Jonah based on the request for a sign, Jesus still wanted all of us to read the entire book of Jonah. And when we do read the entire book of Jonah, don't worry, it's only 4 chapters long. When we read the book of Jonah, we will find Jonah's prayer. And we here at Daleville Christian Church in this season before Easter, the season of Lent, are focusing on prayer. You might be surprised what you find there in Jonah's prayer, because I did not remember Jonah's prayer at all before looking at Jonah again this week. Jonah had run from the Lord. You know the story, you know the report of Jonah. Jonah was running far and fast from God. God had asked Jonah the prophet to do something. Jonah didn't want to do it. He started running. And running wasn't fast enough, so he got on a boat so he could go farther and faster. God wanted Jonah to preach a message to those pagans in the city of Nineveh. And Jonah said no, and Jonah started running. Personally, I can't help but imagine that when Jesus was tempted by Satan himself, that Jesus didn't recall for himself the book of Jonah. Turning from God did not go well for the human prophet Jonah. So the Son of God must be obedient where the human prophet had failed. So Jonah was running from God. Once the ship Jonah was on was out to sea, trouble came, a big storm. The crew did what they normally did in a terrible storm in order to stay afloat, but it wasn't working. So they found out what the real problem was, and the real problem was Jonah. Once confronted by the crew, Jonah told the sailors that they needed to throw him overboard. The sailors did not want to do that. And they tried alternatives. Bible says they rowed even harder to get out of the storm back to shore. Throwing Jonah overboard would have resulted in Jonah's death. The sailors knew that, and Jonah knew that. Like many Hebrews, being in a landlocked nation with no navy, Jonah did not know how to swim. Although I have since found out that lots of sailors never learned to swim, even in the 20th century. But notice Jonah tells the sailors that they are all in danger because of a disagreement between Jonah and Jonah's God, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews. Also notice, Jonah did not recommend at that moment that the sailors pray to Yahweh, but then, a few moments later, the sailors do pray to the Hebrews' God, Jonah's God. Jonah did not pray at that point. So it tells us, chapter 1, verse 14, so they, the sailors, called out to the Lord, "Please, Yahweh, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with innocent blood. You, Yahweh, have done just as you pleased." This is a prayer for mercy, isn't it? The sailors are praying that the ship be saved and that they themselves be saved. If it would still be possible to save the ship, the sailors feel they must throw Jonah overboard. And to throw Jonah overboard was Jonah's idea first. The sailors tried everything else first, but then gave in to Jonah's idea. Verse 15 of chapter 1, then they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. And then it says, the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Wow. We could even say that even while Jonah, who tried to avoid converting pagans by running away from God and would die to avoid converting pagans, still wound up converting pagans. Jonah was having a very bad day. But God was working all things for good. The Bible tells us that God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah would not serve the Lord's purposes, but the fish did serve the Lord's purposes. Jonah wouldn't do what God wanted, but a stupid fish is completely obedient. Shame on Jonah. But in swallowing Jonah, the fish saves Jonah's life. He will not drown. And then the Bible says, chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. So the man Jonah, facing death, being tossed into the ocean, does not pray. Jonah apparently was done talking with God, or Jonah was sure that God was done with Jonah. Jonah did not plead for his life. Jonah was running from God, and Jonah was running from what God wanted. And if the story of Jonah were a simple story, the story would be over at this point. But the book of Jonah is not a simple story. We cannot say, well, Jonah bad, God good, let's move on. No. There is more to the book of Jonah. The Bible says, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. So the man Jonah, facing death at being tossed into the ocean, does not pray. But Jonah, saved from certain death by God, the God-appointed fish, Jonah began to pray. And the first thing Jonah says is this: I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I have suggested to you before that Jonah, like many other people in the Bible that we read about, have faith. Jonah has faith, although it may not appear obvious to us. Jonah's running from God. Jonah's running farther and faster from God. Jonah decides death is better. Would you call that a man of faith? But Jonah does believe in God. And Jonah does believe in God's mercy. And Jonah does believe in God's power. Jonah believes in all those things so much that Jonah knows that he, Jonah, does not want to lead a revival in the city of Nineveh. Jonah really, really does not want to lead a revival in Nineveh. But sometimes, and we never know when that is, but sometimes our God will not be put off. God will not be put off for another generation, as we sometimes read in the Bible. Sometimes God will not give the mission to someone else. God will not raise up someone else to do this revival. God wants Jonah, and God wants Jonah now. Jonah, who was willing to die in refusing this God assignment, began to pray, I cried out for help in the belly of Sheol. You heard my voice. Is this a confession of faith? A confession of sin? Even though I, Jonah, was running from you and prepared to die, you saved me and you're listening to my prayer. Verse 4, but I have said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains in the ocean depths. As my life was fading away, Jonah prayed, my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. In praying, Jonah demonstrated faith. Faith in God's mercy. Faith in God's patience. Faith in God's love. Then I read the verse I didn't remember seeing in the book of Jonah. When Jonah prays in verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forsake faithful love. You see, God doesn't want something from us. God wants something for us. God wants us to know, to experience, and to live with faithful love. But any and all of those people who cling to something else other than God are giving up on the faithful love of God. Jonah ran from God. God never ran from Jonah. As a matter of fact, God didn't just stand there while Jonah ran. God went with Jonah. Jonah was faithless in those moments, but God was faithful. Jonah continued to pray, verse 9, "But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving." What is Jonah going to sacrifice? Jonah is inside a fish. Jonah will sacrifice his resistance to God's plan. Jonah will sacrifice his flight from God. And Jonah even states, "I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation is from the Lord." Jonah is going to take that message to the Ninevites as God wants. Jonah states, "Salvation is from the Lord." That's the same message that Jonah states he does not want to take to the city of Nineveh, but this will now be Jonah's message. Salvation is from the Lord. And Jonah stated he will fulfill Jonah's vow to go to Nineveh with that very same message. And immediately the Bible tells us, verse 10, "Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." The fish does not put Jonah back in the water, which would be more convenient, but right to the dry land. A few more things to say about Jonah's prayer, and I will conclude the sermon, but I remind you that this sermon will be over in a few moments, but the book of Jonah continues for another two chapters. There are more lessons there. Read the book of Jonah. The other day I noticed that although Jonah has a family, at least he is the son of his father, Amittai. Amittai might just be a name, but it carries a lot of meanings. It's the same root for the word amen, meaning truly, or yes, or I agree, or indeed. The word usually denotes faithfulness or trusting or steadfastness. So is Amittai Jonah's dad's name, or does it mean that Jonah has faithful roots, or that Jonah is a man of faith, or does the Bible intend all of those meanings at once? They can all be true. Although Jonah has a family, Jonah speaks to no one in the book but God and the pagans. Jonah is not shown with any friends, good friends or bad friends, no one around to encourage or discourage him. Jonah appears quite alone. But Jonah does have God. Even as Jonah is running from God, Jonah is not out of relationship with God. Do you see that? I guess we could say that Jonah's relationship with God goes from positive to negative, but it's still a relationship. And even in the darkness, in the depths, when God has brought the storm and God has brought faith to the pagan sailors, even as Jonah was willing to die, God preserves Jonah's life. And Jonah returns to prayer, even while Jonah ran from God, even running towards death. So, friends, is it ever too late to pray? The book of Jonah says no. In Jesus' story of the prodigal son, which is really the story of the father, who has two sons. You recall that story of Jesus's. The prodigal son was there in the hog pen fighting the hogs for the hog feed because it looked better than what he had available to eat. And the son said to himself, "Wait, I have a dad who might take me back. Although I can't for the life of me figure out why my dad would take me back. Maybe if I just go back as a slave, Dad would take me back." Well, friends, there's some faithfulness in that. Some faithfulness in that thought. The son is saying, I'm still a son of my father, no matter how far I run from him. A lot of truth in that. My God, Dad, can be merciful. Friends, our God is a God of mercy. And that was one of the things that bothered Jonah most about God. God was going to be merciful to those hated pagans, the Ninevites. And in Jesus' story, the prodigal son, the father with two sons, the prodigal son's brother didn't know his father was that merciful. And when the hardworking son heard the party noise for his jerk idiot of a brother, the hardworking son got real mad and said he wouldn't even go to the party. Not going. Friends, our God is merciful. Our God is a God of mercy, full of mercy. Can you handle that? Many of us have troubles with that. Some of us have trouble being merciful. Many of the Pharisees and Jewish leaders in Jesus' own day had trouble with mercy as Jesus spoke of it. Our God is abounding with steadfast love. Those who cling to worthless idols forsake faithful love. Amen.